KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:07, we have a partly cloudy sky. It's 28 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 42. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. The mayor of Denison has placed three of the city's highest-ranking employees on paid administrative leave. Mayor Jared Beamer and other city officials haven't explained why the action was taken Tuesday against City Manager Terry Crawford, Fire Chief Corey Snowgren, and City Clerk Lisa Cook. Beamer says he can't comment about the matter because it is a personnel investigation. Cook said Thursday that she and Snowgren and Crawford were surprised by the mayor's action and so far haven't been given reasons for being placed on leave. Police in Red Oak Thursday arrested a local man on an assault charge. 34-year-old Billy Lynn Leeper of Red Oak was taken into custody in the 300 block of First Avenue at around 9:40 p.m. Leeper was charged with simple assault and public intoxication, third or subsequent offense. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Police in Council Bluffs Thursday night arrested a man wanted in connection with an alleged attempted abduction late Sunday morning. At around 7:20 p.m. Thursday, officers were dispatched to the Pottawatomie County Jail for a report of a man wanting to turn himself in on a warrant. Officers arrived and located 37-year-old Terrence L. Prine Jr., who was arrested without incident and booked into the jail on the kidnapping and a third-degree charge. Bluffs police had originally said that the alleged attempted abduction took place at around 11:10 a.m. Sunday outside the Burger King restaurant on West Broadway in Council Bluffs. The suspect, Prine, grabbed a 27-year-old female from Council Bluffs by the arm and tried to get her to come with him, but the woman was able to get away. The suspect then fled the scene in a vehicle. The female victim suffered a minor injury to her arm but did not require medical treatment. Five Iowa Great Places have been awarded nearly $1 million in grants for projects in Burlington, Decorah, Dubuque, Malvern, and Maquoketa. Chris Kramer, acting director of the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, said Thursday that we're proud to partner with the leaders of these communities to invest in Iowa's quality of life. Our Iowa Great Places program aligns with our department's mission, he said, to build and sustain culturally vibrant communities through investments in arts, media, history, and culture. Now, the Malvern Betterment Association received a grant amounting to $40,525 for the Malvern City Entrance Beautification Project. The total cost of the project amounts to $84,435. Malvern was designated an Iowa Great Place in 2016. The project will extend Malvern's welcoming atmosphere to the north, since the town sits about 2 miles south of Highway 34 and can be easily missed by through traffic. The project plan calls for the construction of a lighted monument sign directly north of town. The sign's artistic design will tie in with the downtown's established aesthetic theme, including several metal tree sculptures. The trees will echo the Main Street improvements that visitors can see as they enter the town of Malvern. To extend the welcoming atmosphere of the community, the project also calls for more decorative light poles north of the existing ones on Main Street. The combination of the illuminated entrance sign and the decorative lighting poles will provide both wayfinding and an extension of the welcoming atmosphere in the downtown business district of Malvern. Now, the Iowa Great Places program recognizes and partners with Iowans who cultivate the unique and authentic qualities of their local places, such as neighborhoods, districts, or regions, to make them great places to live and work. And changing the way a state tax credit is awarded to home builders is one of the recommendations in this week's Empowering Rural Iowa report. Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg said the workforce housing tax credit is currently awarded on a first-come, first-served basis.
It doesn't really matter if it's the best project. It doesn't matter if it's shovel-ready. If you're in line, that's good enough. What we're recommending is let's turn that into a competitive program, which will encourage communities, encourage developers to sharpen their pencil, make sure they've got a project that's ready to go, and we can fund the projects that are ready sooner than others.
$5 million worth of tax credits are available each year for developers who build homes in Iowa. Small, but the credits have already been claimed for the next 5 years. Changing the distribution of the workforce housing tax credit is a top recommendation from the Empower Rural Iowa Working Groups. Governor Reynolds assembled this summer. The governor asked Gregg to lead the initiative.
You know, we had a short timeline and a focus on finding some concrete solutions that could be implemented quickly, some recommendations that the governor could consider ahead of this next legislative session.
The Empower Rural Iowa Task Forces are calling on the governor to create an Office of Rural Affairs in state government. The group also highlighted the need for state subsidies to expand broadband service in rural Iowa. In the funeral announcements, Lorraine K. Howell, age 72 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Memorial services for Lorraine Howell will be today at 11 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Gene L. Dixon, age 90, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Memorial services for Gene Dixon will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Charles Egan, age 85, of Manila, died Monday at St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Charles Egan will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church of Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Warren Hutchinson, age 96, of Atlantic, died November 25th. Memorial services for Hutch Hutchinson will be on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Gene Leslie, age 80, of Atlantic, died December 15th at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Gene Leslie will be held December 27th at 10:30 a.m. at Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Janet Rutledge, age 79, of Ankeny and formerly of the Messina area, died Wednesday at her home in Ankeny. Funeral services for Janet Rutledge are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. Edna Witzman, age 68, of Eldon, Missouri, and formerly of Atlantic, died Wednesday at her home in Missouri. Services for Edna Witzman are pending at Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Cecilia Madonna Susanna Moeller, age 90, of Griswold, died Tuesday at the Griswold Care Center. Memorial services for Cecilia Moeller are currently pending at the Rican Funeral Home in Griswold. The news was brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.